Okay. All right, so here we go. Let's start. Go ahead, Vita.
Oh, well, Father, we thank you for this great day that you've given us, God, that we can just live and be your kids. So thank you for all the things that you do and take care of us. So thank you for every person here this morning, for our hearts just being open to receive what it is that you have for us, God, that we can just sit at the table and feast and taste that you are good. I thank you for all the words that we will hear. I thank you for the things that you will speak through each of us by inspiration, Father. I thank you, God, that we can just hold on to those precious gems as we go throughout this day and the days ahead this week. So we just thank you for this wonderful time to be able to come together, God, and that we live in a time and a place, God, that we can gather and speak about you and praise you and give you glory freely. So we thank you, God, for this wonderful day in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Anyone else? Amen, then. So what's been going on? I see someone's waving at us from behind Matt and Ann.
Question.
That's Saida.
That's me.
Hi.
Olivia's back there, too.
Okay. Well, what's been going on? Anyone have anything that they would like to share?
No, but I have a question.
Okay.
I want to know about Andrew and his fireworks last week.
I know, and Andrew's not on. We were gonna see video of the Shekinah glory.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't know. Maybe he'll join us here in a minute. Andrew, Vita said I had a question. I wanted to see his fireworks.
He's going to be on here this morning. He's visiting someone.
He's visiting.
He sends his love.
He sends his love.
Okay, well, maybe we'll be able to hear about it next week.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll share it. We'll just have to remember to ask him. Great. Well, what's been happening, folks?
Well, I'll share something that was on my mind the past few days. Three things that coincide together. One, a smile. Two, music. And three, dancing. I remember someone teaching me, she was a nurse actually, and that every time you smile, no matter how bad you feel and you don't want to and you force yourself to smile, you feel better immediately because it releases a hormone that I call it the happy hormone. But, you do. I mean, like right now, if you don't feel good and you make yourself do it, whether you want to smile or not, and you make yourself do it like I'm doing it right now, I'm just, you know, I just feel better. And that happens when you smile. So even when you're home walking around, to make yourself smile, it'll change your attitude. And the next thing was music. And I thought about David, how he danced before the Lord. And because he glorified God. And he just loved God so much. His fellowship was so great. He would dance before him. And I just know there's more to that record, but I just appreciate that one fact. The other thing is dancing. And I ran across a video yesterday of, you know, little short snippets of all those old dances back in, you know, black and white dances, movies, you know, with these great dancers, Daddy Long Legs and Bing Crosby and all these women who were just fantastic. And I thought, you know, I do that. When I'm all alone, I don't care. I know I don't dance well as them, but I don't care. And I know that God is happy because it makes me happy. I even make some stupid moves I would never do in public, for God knows I wouldn't want anybody to think I wasn't cool. And it's freeing, and it makes you feel like a kid again. So I don't care how old we are. We need to do things like that that we have forgotten about. And I sent it to a friend, and she came back and with a comment saying, I don't dance. I can't dance as good as them. And I wrote back, well, duh, that's why you're supposed to do it, dance when nobody's around. So I just thought those three things are really important. And as adults, I think, you know, we forget that those things are important. And so I would like to urge everybody here sometime this week, if they would turn on their favorite music, you know, even if it's Def Leppard or one of those crazy, just turn on your music that you like. And just dance, and you'll find yourself feeling so much better than you were before. No, even if you were feeling good, it just makes you feel great inside and alive. And God knows we are older people, and we do have to make ourselves feel alive. It's better dancing than pinching myself, okay? So I just thought that was great. Smiling, music, and dancing. Good for the soul.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Yeah,
always fun to let that joy of the Lord out. So, what else going on?
I'll say,
Matt.
I've been, you know, reading in Romans, and, you know, it strikes me, you know, God's grace to us, you know, and making us righteous as his kids. But the whole, I don't know, the whole thing with God is just to allow us to, you know, do what we want, as long as we're doing it, you know, loving, you know, dance, listen to music, smile. I mean, that's definitely all stuff God, you know, intends for us. But he, you know, obviously knows that we have a foe in this world who tries to, you know, Satan, who tries to get us to do things in a non-loving way, you know, selfish way, and things like that. And so, you know, that's where his, you know, mercy really comes into play. And he's like, hey, if you do something wrong, just, you know, acknowledge it, decide you don't want to do it anymore, and I forgive you. You know, and his, God's whole goal is to be a father to us and to take care of us and to bless us with the things that we need to live a more than abundant life. I mean, that's just his whole desire, is to be able to provide us with everything that we need. And it's only when we basically go about things the wrong way that we walk away from the things that God has for us. And, you know, we get something less than, you know, complete sufficiency. But, and it just, I don't know, it's just like, it should be something, you know, our goal should be to always do the Father's will. Our goal should be to have the things that we need, you know, taken care of us. And then, of course, you know, it's like, if you think about it, in the Garden of Eden with Adam, I mean, God didn't say, you know, sit on your butt, I'll make sure you have everything you desire. It's like, okay, your job is to work the garden, you know, and the reality is that is what fulfills a person's, I don't know, sense of purpose too, you know, something to do, something to work and things like that. But, so it's just thinking about that from, you know, in the beginning of Romans, it's basically, you know, grace and apostleship that, you know, he is giving to us through Jesus Christ, you know, so all that grace, and then, hey, make sure that everybody else knows about it, you know, be that apostle for me too. Friday night, myself, Cheyenne and Ann, we went and to a, it was a Cherokee Fellowship of Christian Athletes event, and they had Tim Tebow there to speak. And then there was two other speakers. One was some guy that played against Tebow in college. Tebow was with
the Gators.
The Gators. This guy was with the Georgia Bulldogs. So they were mortal enemies at one point. And then they had a lady that was the Georgia High School woman's basketball player of the year. She went to college down in Florida and did very well there. But it was interesting because the first two speakers, which were the guy that played against Tebow and this lady who was basketball, both of them had the same kind of message, is that, you know, they grew up, they tried to, you know, prove themselves through being the best in their sport, yet they were, you know, they found themselves unfulfilled. And it wasn't until they really, you know, came to a relationship with Christ and understood that their identity was really the identity of themselves in Christ, that they said, now, you know, that's who I am. And, you know, and that's the most fulfilling one, when we finally get to that point where we put our focus there. And that's what they were saying, you know, it's like focus on your identity in Christ, and then the other stuff will come. So it was... the whole thing was kind of a come to Jesus meeting, but yeah, it was a little different than
different from what you guys were used to.
Yeah, so it was, but you know, I kind of took those messages, and you know, I thought it was going to be more about these guys teaching the, you know, the athletes, the kids growing up, here's how to involve God in what you're doing, and, you know, that type of thing. But it wasn't so much that. And like I said, the first two were talking about, you know, their identity in Christ as being, you know, when they really came to who they were and got fulfilled. So it was, It was neat to go to, and you know, some of the messages were pretty cool. So.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, our identity, who we really are, is who we are in Christ. And when we see that, that's when we truly are fulfilled, because we realize, you know, like it says in the scripture, you know, we died. And our life is hid with God in Christ. And, you know, when he shall appear, you know, that's when we'll really see ourselves. We'll know, even as we are known, we'll have a knowledge of God. We'll have a knowledge of Jesus Christ face to face, and knowing him like he knows us, you know, like our Father knows us. You know, we'll have that kind of knowledge not necessarily about ourselves, but we'll know him. We'll have a complete and full understanding of who we are in Christ and who they are to us, you know, for all eternity. That is really an amazing thing. And really and truly, that's what fulfills us, because that's our victory. Our victory is not in this life and what we achieve or don't achieve in this life. Our victory is eternity. You know, we have that victory, and we're joint heirs with Christ, and we're going to have one heck of an eternity. Right? So it's going to be more than we could ever imagine. So.
Party.
Or what, Tim?
It's going to be a party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, what else is on your minds? Anything, you guys?
I was just thinking, it's just absolutely no satisfaction in, you know, that old man, you know. And like you just said, it won't be until Christ returns. Because it, you know, what it is born into, you know, and it's just no good thing, no good thing, whatsoever. And that's why, you know, social programs are good. I do that. That's the type of work I do. And I'm so thankful that I can, you know, bring God into that situation. However, you know, trying to fix the flesh is an unending job. And it's never going to work, you know, it's never, you're never going to be able to fix that. And, that's why, you know, you're never going to find any satisfaction there. Because there's always going to be something that is mirrored, that's not godly, you know? So yes, of course that looks ugly, you know, that, and, It's our new self that is perfect. In that we find everything we need. And getting people to that point of realizing that our identity is in Christ. That's where we are hidden, you know, not this fleshly body, but that spiritual body. And as you said, Donnie, you know, then we will be known even as we are known. You know, and that knowing is not of this stuff here. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, Vita's going to be this, you know, new person, right? No, it's that spirit man is going to be made known. Not just, you know, Vita's going to be this, you know, amazing person now that she's arrived in heaven. And, you know, but we will be known even as we are known. And that's that spiritual person, that person that's after Christ, that has those type of abilities. And, you know, we just thank God that we have the Spirit of God, that we can kind of walk in that now. We get the opportunity to practice with it now in this lifetime, because we all know what it looked like before we got born again. We all knew, and without the Spirit of God, we just didn't have the ability to really walk any other way. Besides that, we really, without the Spirit of God, we don't have the ability to walk any other way besides the way of the world. So, yeah, seeing it a lot with the people that I work with. And, trying to bring God into that situation instead of another social program. Because, you know, it's always going to be something there, because it's the work. It is the world. So it's always going to be something that you're trying to fix. And, we are fixed in Christ. And that's it. That's the bottom line. That's it. Just, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. The old man. Dead. You don't get any worse than that.
Amen.
It's just like that. That's, you know, that's unfixable, right? Mm. Like I remember, you know, the difference between the two natures, right? The difference between the old man nature and the new nature, You know, the old man nature is so broken, it is beyond repair. It cannot be repaired. It's just dead. Can't repair it. And the new nature is so perfect, it needs nothing. It needs nothing because it is perfect. And that's who we are now in Christ. We are filled with the fullness of God. We are perfect in Christ. We are as righteous as God is righteous because he has given us his righteousness, right? There's nothing more you need to do with that. You just put that on. You put on that new nature. It's like putting on a wardrobe. This wardrobe is perfect in every way. And we put it on, to my mind, when the word says to put that on, put on Christ, put on this new nature, it's because here we are in this life. We have this old nature and this body of flesh, right? And it's just not fixable. It can't be repaired. It's so broken. So we just put on that which God has provided for us to put on. Like when Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden, right? When they made that initial disobedience to God, that sin, and they found themselves naked before God. What did God do? Well, you better hurry up and get something on. No, he clothed them. He covered them in their sin. He covered that stuff up. He gave them what they needed. And that's what the Father has done for each of us. He has given us what we need, not in the flesh, but spiritually in Christ. That new nature, which can love as Christ loved because it resides within us. Right? It can heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. It can bring life to those who are dead in trespasses and sin. That's who we are now. That's what God has invited us to participate in this life with. Right? And it's not about our flesh. It's totally about that new creation in Christ, which is, like it says, all those things, right, in Romans, right, that all these new things, right, are of God. They're not of our own doing. They're of God. Right? Isn't that Romans, isn't it?
That's Corinthians.
No, that's Corinthians. That's making sure that people understood Romans, the practical part. Right? Yeah. So here we are. You know, we realize that all these new things about our lives are of God, not of ourselves. So great thing to remember and focus on, right? Keep our hearts focused on. So great. Okay. Anybody else? Patty?
I do have something. Just a few verses in 1 John. You can either go there or just listen. Just thinking about kind of the tone of the fellowship this morning and kind of where we're all at. And Matt was talking about the athletes and how they were unfulfilled no matter how great they were in their particular field. It made me think of this section here in 1 John 4. And we'll just read a few verses in verse 4, it says, and we all know this verse, it's a great one. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want to kind of look at this word overcome. It's used a number of times through here and into chapter 5. And they named a shoe after it. Okay. Nike. To overcome is the Greek word nikeo, and to be a super conqueror or a super overcomer is the Greek word hooper, you know, with that prefix hooper nikeo. So reminds me of a dog we once had. We called him Nikki, but his name was Nikeo because he was a super conqueror. Anyway, he didn't have God and Christ in him like we do. But, okay, so
we've overcome the world. All right, go on down here to verse 10. It says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins, for our unbelief there, for when we miss the mark. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's made complete, perfect within us as we, as you'll see here, as we look a little further, walk in that fellowship with God, that acknowledging him and the God in Christ in us, recognizing that it's not of ourselves, but it's because of the God in Christ in us that we're covered on every note there. It says, verse 13, herein know we, and this is to absolutely know. We know, herein know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he's given us his spirit. We have the spirit of God within us. Okay, this makes it possible for us to absolutely know that we know that we know because we have this indwelling spirit. Remember back in Romans, that spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us. It literally inhabits every cell and every part of our being to quicken it or to make it alive. Because he's given us his spirit, right? Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify. Okay, can I get a freedom? We're going to testify here. okay. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. This dwelling is a present tense. You know, we have that indwelling spirit. It's always readily accessible and available at any present moment that we're in. And verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, we have that fellowship with God and one with another when we're walking in love, basically, is what it's talking about, because we do have sonship, because God dwells in us, right? So there you have it. We are sons of God. Herein, verse 17, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, this day of judgment is not referring to some future tense judgment from God to condemn the world. This is talking about today. This is man's day. This is the time when man does the judging, because this era that we're in, this open-ended era until Christ returns to get us out of here, this grace administration is when man does the judging. And, you know, we have to recognize that everybody's not going to totally love us because of what we believe and who we are, but we still walk in love and let our love and our light shine to everyone regardless. But today is man's day, the day that man does the judging, and it's this perfect love. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. It causes a separation from God. It causes a separation from those that we love. When we have fear, and fear is painted in many different backdrops. Fear can be guilt and condemnation, or self inadequacy, or, you know, fear of what people think of you, or fear of not measuring up or being good enough. Fear can be the Rona, right? Sicknesses, diseases, the things that the adversary is throwing in this day and time. My grandson used to call it the Rona, coronavirus. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But that perfect love casts out fear. It, that indwelling activated love of God within us because we've confessed that Jesus Christ is our Lord and we believe God raised him from the dead. Verse 20, it says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how is he going to love God who he has not seen? And verse 21, this is the commandment that we have from him, that we, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And then verse, chapter 5, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He is the Christ, the risen Christ, Jesus, the Christ who's sitting at the right hand of God where we are also. He is the anointed one. And we have that within us. There's no more need for the anointing. You know, we don't just show up in some, you know, church session and get all lathered up and get the anointing. It doesn't work that way. We've already been given the anointing because we have God and Christ in us. There's no need to give it again. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep his commandments. You know, and it talks previously in 1 John that to keep his commandments are to keep his word, to walk in love, to keep his word. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You know, commandment, that sounds kind of like, ooh, you know, laws and rules. Well, you know, you reap what you sow in this life, right? That's kind of what it's about. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory, the Nike, the overcoming. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? That the word overcometh there is in the, is also from that word, hupernikeo. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So, you know, we could look at many other things regarding this, but I love how we have overcome this world. We've overcome the fear and the hurt and the destruction that the adversary causes, you know, his end game being to steal, kill, and destroy. We've overcome the things that he promotes, which is fear and worry and condemnation and concerns for illness and all these types of things. And are we measuring up and all that? We have to believe and walk in this ever-present power of that perfect love in the, with boldness, because as he is in this world, so are we in this world. So, you know, we set our sights on high. You know, Vita mentioned something about being spiritual people. We, you know, the flesh is certainly not perfect. I love what you said, Donnie, about our old man nature is so broken. It's beyond repair, and our new man nature is so perfect. It needs nothing. So which would you rather look at? You know, your old man nature, you're just going to get more bummed out if you look at your flesh and the things in your life that are not measuring up. Or are you going to look at the new man nature, which is perfect, and who you are in Christ, and continue on that path to be a super conqueror, an overcomer, like we read a few weeks ago, I think, in Romans. If God be for us, who can be against us? Right, Cheyenne? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one, no one, no one. So that was what I was thinking about.
It's awesome. That's great. That is terrific. Yeah. You know, it's great because all those things that it talks about being made perfect and you know, perfected, the thing, the love is perfected in us, being made perfect. All those things, being made perfect in love, all those phrases are in the passive. Mm-hmm. Passive voice in the Greek, And passive means that you're being acted upon by something else. You're not doing this. You're not perfecting your walk in love. All you're doing is dwelling in God. All you're doing is dwelling in that environment of God's grace to where you recognize that all of this is by the mercy and grace of God to you, because you did one thing. You believed. You believe. Do you, who was that guy that's written of in the Gospels? Who was that man? He was the Christ, the Son of God. That's who he was. He was not just some guy who had a real great ability for public speaking and magical tricks. He really did cause multitudes to come and follow him because he walked with God, his Father. Right? And when we believe that Jesus, that guy in the Gospels, was the Son of God, our Christ, our Lord, our Messiah, then all these things God does. God does. As we just dwell in that reality, in our heart, all we do is believe. I believe my old man's dead. I believe that I am alive unto God through Christ. I believe that when Christ was buried, I was buried. And when he was raised anew from the grave, so was I. So were you. And when we believe that, we dwell in that in our conscious mind day by day. Who are we? We're sons and daughters of God, the living God, not some dead, lifeless thing, but a true living creator God who has made us his sons and daughters. And we dwell in that. We just dwell. That's where we dwell in our mind. We may dwell in Atlanta, Georgia, in Germany. And I don't even know the town you live in, Kurt. But over there in Germany, you dwell in that physical location, but in your mind and heart, you dwell in the heavenlies where you're seated. You dwell in that place that Christ dwells now, in that place of authority, in that place of rest, seated at the right hand of God. That's where we dwell. And as we dwell there, the love that we walk in is perfected in us. It's there. It's just there. God works that powerful force in each of our lives, that ability to love as Christ loved, that ability to look at the leper with great compassion and give him a great big hug and say, don't worry about a thing. You're going to be fine. You're made whole in Christ. Right? And if we can hug the leper, we can certainly go maskless. If we're dwelling in that place. Because all these things that we become, all these new things that we become, my old man couldn't love, didn't know how to love. He could be selfish, very good at being selfish, my old man nature, very good at it, pretty good. Every once in a while it shows up. But my new nature is perfect in every way. See? And all that perfection is because of what God works in us, what God works in us. It's passive for us. The believing is the active part. Oh, yes. Father, I believe your word. I believe your promise. I believe what you have spoken of me and to me. I believe that. I believe that you raised your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. I believe that he is no longer just some man, but he is my Lord and my Christ. And I will respect who you have called him and when the name that you have given him. I will respect that. And that's where I dwell. And as I dwell there, his love is perfected in me. His love is perfected in you. And that enables you to overcome, right? That enables us to overcome. and be those more than conquerors in every situation. I couldn't do that in my flesh. There are too many things out there in the world that my flesh cannot overcome. But you and I both know that in Christ, we can do all things. We are ready for anything and everything that comes at us because we have Christ in us. And that infuses us with the power of God. The power of the heavenly places resonant within each of us. You know, how much has God done for us because we did one thing? We responded to words that were spoken to us with faith. When someone told us for the first time, you know, I don't know when that was. It's hard for me to remember the first time I heard about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I don't recall the specific time. I recall a moment when I really, really, really knew in my heart that I believed it. And in response to that faith in my heart, in response to that, God made me new. God made you new, a new creation in Christ. Ready for anything, able to overcome anything in a super way. And all because of his grace, all because of his desire to look upon us and say, I want to do you a favor. I want to do for you what it's impossible for you to do. But in your heart, you have believed. So I will now do all these things for you. Make you new. Make you strong. We have a great Father. The best. The absolute best. He looks past everything that's wrong in our lives in the flesh. And He makes us what we desire to be before him. He makes us that. Just like he did with his son. They may have killed him, but he made him alive. And he did it for our sake. For our sake. So that we could walk in newness of life. Not in the old man nature that was governed by the letter of the law, but to walk in great freedom in this newness of life. The freedom to really dwell in the presence of God and allow God's love to permeate from us, to manifest itself out of our lives. So what a great thing to focus on, right? What a great thing to attend to give our heart wholly and completely to come to a real knowledge of that, because that's the truth. And that's what God desires for us to come to know. But more than just knowing it in our head or knowing it from the scripture, knowing it in our lives in a practical way. That's God's desire. And he makes it easy for us to come to those places of really knowing. I know I'm a son of God now. I know that I am perfect in Christ and not in my own flesh. I know that because I've seen God look past my imperfections and still mightily work within me, still answer my prayer, my request that I made known to him. And you do too. We know this, right? You know when God has favored you. You know when God has answered your prayer. And that is the things that God wants you to know, that he is at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure and to bless you abundantly. So thank you, Father, for that. Yeah, Tim.
I kind of liken it on, you know, we have two cars in the driveway. We have this old broken down car that burns 4 quarts of oil a day and breaks down every time you want to go, or we have this brand new car in the driveway, you know, and every day we got to make a choice what car we want to use to go where we want to get to. And, who in their right mind would want to get into the beaten down, busted old car that the tires are bald and that the inside of the interior smells, you know, and there's all kinds of stuff poured on the carpet and the seats are all wore out? Or do we want to get into that new car that smells new, that everything works, it's got a GPS that goes ahead and tells us where we need to get to? And I think that's kind of like the new nature, you know, it's like, you know, and we've been taught to stay in that old junky old car sometimes, you know, instead of getting into the newness of, you know, what has been given to us, you know, and, you know, the older we get, the more we feel that old broken down car in our bodies, you know. You know, it's sometimes a struggle to go ahead and to look at your life and go ahead and say, really, this is where I am at 63, or this is where I am at 68, or this is where I am at 70. But that's because we're in the wrong car. We need to look at the newness of everything that we have every day.
Right. Thanks, Tim. Well, that's awesome. Anybody else?
You know, the verse that talks about how our minds have been blinded, our eyes have been blinded, you know, and we grow up thinking that following the things of God, we're going to, you know, have to give up things, and not realizing that, no, we gain a whole new life. That's wonderful. And, but that's, you know, that's the enemy. He blinds their minds to the truth, you know, of what this life really is. And, I used to call it, he sells, like, you know, pawns off fake jewelry, cubic zirconia. I can remember the time that, when Cynthia told me when she had got married one time that, her husband had bought her this big old ring and it was just, flashing and everything. And she said when they got a divorce, they didn't stay married long. She said she went to the pawn shop and the person there told her it wasn't real. It was a cubic zirconia. So, I mean, that's the enemy. He's always trying to pawn off something, you know, he takes what God has and tries to pawn it off as the real thing. But then when you pull the curtains back, you realize it's not, it is not truth. And that's how he blinds people's mind to what really is truth. So, yeah. Wonderful, Donnie. And that, what you just stated was so freeing, is that the old man is beyond repair. It is so broken. It can't be repaired. That was like a freeing truth. And you're right. So stop trying.
That's right. We are diamonds. We are not cubic zirconia. We are the real deal.
Yes.
That's it. Awesome. Great.
Yeah. Wonderful sharing.
There's always going to be a counterfeit out there, and it has to be really close to the genuine for people to buy into it, right? So I can just picture that flashy ring right now with Cynthia. And that's just so funny.
It is funny.
Because really, I mean, it is hard to tell. Sometimes now, like when I want to buy shoes, I haven't bought any shoes for a while, but to tell if they're real leather or not, because they have the fake stuff that looks so much like leather. And, you know, I want good quality shoes kind of thing. I mean, we all want the best. We don't want a counterfeit. We don't want second best. And we have to think of ourselves as the best, and that we should expect the best from God in every category. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's all about focus. Like Matt shared about that a few weeks back, and we've all been talking about focus. You know, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? You've got to choose, and you might as well stand up and put your shoulders back and, like Cheryl said, smile and laugh and dance and, you know, listen to some music that blesses you. Just to keep that attitude of gratitude always and to always look on the bright side. I remember my mom was always that person for me. You know, I was an only child. We grew up, you know, relatively in difficult ways, but I didn't really know it. I mean, I didn't realize that we were lower middle class or whatever you want to call it. You know, categories are so stupid. But she always had this great attitude. So did my dad. You know, he always said, he'd stick out his hand and he'd say, Wayne Leffler, I never met a stranger. And he was just so delightful. And, you know, he worked well into his 80s because he loved people. My mom, whenever I would talk to her, I talked to her every week. She would always say, you can do it, honey. You can do it. No matter what it was. And, you know, God is cheering us on constantly within that God in Christ in us that we can do it. We are victorious. We are super Nikeos. We are hooper Nikeos or whatever. We are overcomers. And, you know, and the athletic analogy too, that Matt shared, the idea that, you know, athletes, the good side of it is that athletes train and they endeavor to be good at what they do. Now, it's not fulfilling, you know, just like it says in Timothy, you know, exercise, is good for a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But
godliness
is that main thing, yeah. You know, nothing wrong with exercise. It helps us feel better in the flesh. But anyway.
Yeah. We exercise ourselves unto godliness. In other words, we continue to work on our relationship with God. You know, we bring him into everything and anything that we're involved in, right? And that's where the fulfillment comes in.
Yeah.
Because God does all the heavy lifting. Great things. Great stuff. So, well, why don't we pray and have some manifestations, okay? Anyone who would like to manifest, just remember to unmute your mic. All right. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful blessings. Thank you for the things that you have brought to our hearts and minds today, all the great things and encouragement, exhortation that your words have brought to us today. Thank you, Father, for the way you work so mightily within each of us to be a part of this great building up of the body. And that, Father, we continue to have greater faith now than we did when we first came together, because you have been working, you have been encouraging, you have been bringing our minds and hearts to those things that build our faith so that we can move those mountains and heal those people and deliver those people that so need it. Thank you, Father, for continuing to open the eyes of our understanding, continuing to cause your love to be perfected in us as we look to you, as we walk with you, and enjoy the things that you have brought into our lives. Those new things that are perfect in every way. Thank you, Father, for these things and for the power that you've placed within each of us that we can utilize each and every moment of every day to make your truth known, in that wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And someone manifest, please.
Shono Koreasa Kiyasono Koshakayata Kiyan Santa. If in Sakoriata Kino Sakurusi Alianso, if in Sakoshan Kayanto, Amakarian Sieno Shakariata Alianso. And my children be at rest. You don't have to worry about anything, for I, your Heavenly Father, have taken care of everything for you. I took care of it before the foundation of the world. I took care of it before the all ages. So don't fear anything. I have everything in my hand. I have all the plans that you need for your life. to look to me, come to me, seek my face. And I give you the answers that you need for your life, because I have everything for you, everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Gird up the loins of your mind. Know that I have given you a rock to stand on, and that rock is my Son. Glorify me as you walk like him, for I, the Lord thy God, do love you.
My people know that I love you dearly. Look to me as your Father, for I am your Father. I am also God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I can provide you with anything that you need. I can give you all blessings. I can give you all those things that will lead you down paths of righteousness and unto those blessings. My care for you is so tremendous. My desire is to see that you walk in this life with great ease and great comfort and great peace. So come to me, and come to me daily. Moment by moment, attend to my direction and my guidance. Know that it is my desire to see that you walk rightly before me. For the paths of darkness are ones that lead to destruction and to every bad thing. But know that I have provided a path and a path of light. So walk down that path and receive my blessings, and know that I, God, your Father, will take care of you in everything you put your hand to.
Wonderful. Someone have a prayer at Thanksgiving, huh?
Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for us being able to have a place to dwell, a place to live, and a place to thrive, which is in your heart. And know that that we are so thankful for that, to have a place in all this turmoil, to be able to come and lay our heads on your shoulder, to rest in your bosom, and for you the holiest one we are. In trouble. And for you to go ahead and pick us before the foundations of the world, and to look at each one of us individually and go ahead and say, you are my child. And you are my child. And you are my child. For us to be in that calling and to be on that list. Again, we are so thankful to be able to be on that list, and for you, us to give us the ability to be able to walk in this world when the world is so screwed up. I just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the ability to renew our minds, to be able to pray for our friends, to be able to pray for our family, to be able to believe for healings, to be able to believe for our, and not only in our lives, but in other people's lives, to be able to touch people in a spiritual realm. I just thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for that ability, that seed that you placed into us, and then put it into us incorruptible, because you knew our old man nature, and you knew that we would screw it up if it was because of our works and not because of your grace. I just thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for this day, this week, this year, and the rest of our lives, that we have the ability and that we have the ever presence to know that you are always with us, to protect us, to love us, to care for us, and to give us the strength to do what we got to do in this world. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have one more thing. That verse that we were just referring to, the two verses actually in 1 Timothy 4, they're really great. The whole package kind of needs to be looked at, which is verse 7. It says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth a little, or for a little time. It's just temporary. It does profit, but just for a little time. But godliness is profitable unto all things. And then my favorite little section, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I say that to myself all the time, and I share that all the time, because it is, he's got us covered in this life and in that which is to come. But godliness, by definition, is a unique spiritual relationship with God in direct contrast to religion. Religion is man-made, and it includes all those old wives' fables. And I'm not being critical of some particular denomination or whatever, but in God's word and from his perspective, it's godliness versus anything else. Godliness is that vital, true relationship. And exercise is good. I feel better when I do it. But I sure am thankful, too, Tim, for us having this home, this place with each other where God dwells and where we can share this love and this fellowship.
All right. Great.
So
wonderful.
We won't see you next weekend.
Yeah, we won't see you next weekend, but we'll be back the weekend after that. So.
And Andrew did send his love. I talked to him yesterday, and he's off visiting a friend, having a great old time. And Charlie and Karen, the same thing. Every weekend she texts me, oh, we're in such and such a place and doing this and having fun. And they're real travelers. They like, is it soccer? Was it soccer games they were going to? And they're in North Carolina this weekend. I don't know exactly.
Soccer and Corvette Club.
And Irish, or is it?
Oh.
Is it
no,
Scottish?
Scottish.
Scottish. They like cars. They're real fun. They like to do a lot of crazy stuff like that. But they send their love too.
Yeah.
I was supposed to tell you that every week.
What a wonderful life we have.
And we do, don't we?
We do, yes.
We do. Yeah. What a wonderful life. Yeah. Yeah, well, we love you all very much.
Love you too.
Fantastic fellowship. Awesome.
All right,
love you,
Kat. Love you too. Glad to hear you're awake now.
Yes, you sound awake.
Yeah. Finally. Finally. And Tim, that was a wonderful analogy about the car. I remember, 15 cars sitting in our driveway. So I love that. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you guys are the best.
Have a great anniversary next weekend too. Love you guys.
Okay. Thank you. Happy. Well, whatever.
Yeah. Thank you.
We got it.
We're going to, did you tell them what we're doing?
I think I mentioned, Lake Lanier Islands. We're going to go over there again, kind of hang around, maybe rent a boat in the afternoon.
Maybe. We've already rented the boat.
Ah. So we're going to rent the boat, float around.
Have fun.
We're going to do an anniversary flotilla.
What, Kathy?
I said, woohoo, it sounds fun.
Yeah, and I'm going to be swimming in that big old salt pool. And because it's our anniversary, he'll humor me and go in there with me.
Yeah, I will.
That's good, Dawn.
I don't particularly care to go into public swimming pools because I embarrass everyone with my physique. Just how brutally handsome my
my physical body is these days.
It's totally true, honey.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Don't like to make anybody feel bad, you know.
Well, don't we still make those all over men swimsuits and things?
That's what I need. Yeah.
Oh, well, you guys enjoy and happy anniversary.
All right. Thank you. We love y'all.
Love you too.
Say, hey, was Tony within earshot?
Yes, Tony's in earshot.
Okay, love you, man.
Hey, Tony.
How you doing?
Bless your heart, man.
They still can't see
you soon. We're gonna have to come and do a little housewarming thing when you guys get in there.
Yeah, once the house gets up, but we're gonna hang out with you guys before then. So.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we love you all. We're gonna
love
sign off too. Okay.
Okay, bye.
All right. Yes. Bye. You guys have a great one.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Matt, Ann, Cheyenne, and everybody. V. Kurt, and Peter Shane.
They're sleeping.
Yeah. All right.